I just want to take a few minutes and just read a passage of scripture that really sums up what we've heard tonight through song and in the testimonies that you've heard, which are clearly the evidence of God's power to take us from one place to another place, out of darkness, and as I had shared earlier, into his marvelous light. The message I just want to leave with you briefly is simply this: come home. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells this amazing story. There was no greater storyteller that walked the face of the earth other than Jesus Christ. He says this: there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. The father did this. And not many days later, the younger son, he gathered all that he had and he took a journey in a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods, the stuff that the pigs ate, because no one gave him anything. So when he came to himself, which really means when he came to the end of himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And so he arose and he came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, the biggest one that we have, and kill it. And let's eat and let's celebrate. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Praise God. And there's so much more to this story, but I just want to take a few minutes to just share this portion of the story that I believe will speak and minister to someone who's here tonight, or someone who's maybe watching online, or someone who needs to know tonight, it's okay, you can come home. And when I say come home, I'm talking about coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When I say come home, I'm talking about the home that we find in the rest that we are able to receive through the grace and the mercy of God. When I speak about home, I'm talking about the kingdom of God that belongs to every person who is willing to turn and believe in faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and is Savior. That's the home I'm talking about. The home I'm talking about is the embrace that we receive in the loving arms of God and his amazing grace. That's home to me. Home to me is salvation in Christ Jesus. This young man asked for everything that belonged to him. He said, "Father, give it to me. All that you have for me." It really represents you and I. Often we want the benefits, but we don't want the relationship with the Father. It's amazing how many people today, they don't walk with God, they don't serve God, they don't declare Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, but they'll pray when they want something. They'll ask for everything. We want. We want all the good benefits. We want our bank account to be full. We want cars. We want status. We want success. We want education. We want the good life. We want. And the father lovingly gave both of his sons their inheritance. And after a few days, the younger son packs up and just leaves. And the Bible tells us that he goes very far away to a far country. He distanced himself from his father. as so many do when they live their life only trying to please themselves. If you attempt to live a life that only pleases yourself, you'll find yourself in some far country distant from the love of the Father. Don't distance yourself tonight. Don't stray away tonight. You're here now in the presence of God. It's time to come home. He went off to a far country and he squandered everything. Squandered it. And the Bible says the way he lived was reckless. Scripture says it was reckless living. We still use that word today when we describe people that don't live right. Anybody ever describe somebody that you know that just lives out of control? And in one word, we sum up that person, reckless. That person lives reckless. You know what that is? It's sin. That is the cause of a reckless life. When we live our lives bound by sin, living our lives in such a way, this is what sin is. Sin is doing those things that separate us from a holy God, a righteous God, and a good God. It is those bad things that do not please God. That is sin in our life. But yet, I'm telling you tonight, it's time to come home. And so he lived this reckless life, and he lost everything. I don't know all that he was doing, but he did enough where he found himself with nothing. Not a single penny to his name. So much that he drifted off to some farmland, so I might say. And the only job he could get was working with the pigs. And the only food he could get, because no one would give him anything. You see, when you attempt to live your life for yourself, at the end of it all, it will be just you and only you. Because at the end of his life, at that moment, after he had squandered everything, the Bible says that no one would give him anything. Selfishness leads to loneliness. The effort to live a life just for yourself will lead you to a place where it's just you and you alone. Selfishness chases off every good friend and every good opportunity. So here he was with the pigs. He's come to the end of himself. Nothing. Nobody. Alone. And he gets this realization. I'm better off if I go home right now. I mean, I'll just go home. I've failed, and I'll just confess. Father, I've blown it. I've sinned before you, before heaven. And he came to this place where he realized, I just need to confess. I need to confess my wrongs. I need to confess my sin. I need to confess my failure. I need to confess that I just blew it. And maybe I could come home and just be a servant. My father's servants live better than I do right now. I think I'll go home. And so he gets up, no shower. He's filthy. He's dirty. He's been gone a long time. He looks probably unrecognizable. Maybe he hasn't shaved in a while. But while he was still a far way off, although he looked disheveled, he was the evidence of a reckless life, filthy, dirty, but from afar off, the Father saw him. Here's what's really interesting about this moment. Clearly, the Father had to have been looking for him. That's amazing. To see him afar off, that means the Father was in a position to see him, to look for him. It was his desire in the love of the Father to find the wayward son, to find the one that fell away, to find the one that was a prodigal. It's the Father's desire, and it's the Father's love to see you and to welcome you home. And when he saw his son from a distance, when he saw this messed up kid, when he saw this rebel, from a distance, when he saw this broken kid, completely disheveled, an absolute mess, a failure, a shame to the family, but not with the father. The father saw him, and the scripture says he ran to him. He ran to him. And he runs to him, and he embraces him, and he kisses him. He welcomes him home. I don't know if that'd be my response. I mean, I love my son, but if he took all my money and spent it, I'm just saying. And I haven't seen him in a long time. Oh, I'm gonna love him all right. I'm gonna love him with a good old-fashioned whipping. I don't know, some of you might know what it was like back in the day. These days, you can't whip nobody. They call the police on you. But my parents, oh, I got me a couple good whippings. I'd get the whipping, and then they'd sit me down and be like, I love you so much. Some of y'all know a little something about that. That's why you're laughing. Didn't that always confuse you? But there was no whipping that happened. He ran the father. You know, it's the only moment where we get this description of God running to the one who's lost. It's an amazing picture that God runs. It's like what Kevin was saying a little earlier, that just God was just chasing me. Chasing me and chasing me. Do you know you can't run from God? You can't. If you're watching online, you can't run from God. He will chase you down. And when he gets to you, he doesn't whip you, he embraces you. As messed up as things have been. I mean, you gotta picture this. The prodigal son is, he's coming home. He smells. He hasn't showered for days. Matter of fact, he smells like a pig. But that's what you smell like when you're living in sin. But that's okay, because you're still invited to come home. And he's probably his head down, and he's ashamed, and he's just coming. He knows that. Where to go. But he don't even realize he's still far off. And the father just comes and just falls on him. Probably shocked the mess out of him. You know that awkward moment when you're not ready for a hug and you just kind of tighten up like this? Because maybe you feel like you don't deserve the hug, or maybe you feel like you have fallen out of relationship with that person. Because that's the prodigal son. This is the person who's been bound by sin. This is the rebel. This is the one who has failed. This is the one who has not gotten himself together. We have that moment in life where we feel like, because of our sin, because of our mess, maybe I shouldn't get this hug right now. Maybe I shouldn't embrace. But God's not waiting around for you to embrace him. He just comes in for the hug, and he kisses you, and he embraces you, and he loves on you, and he welcomes you back home. Your awkwardness does not chase God away. Your guilt and your shame does not change the mind of God. He's already in a full sprint coming right to you because he loves you. It's an amazing love. It's an amazing grace. There's no grace like it. There's no kindness. There's no mercy like the love of God. And he embraces you. And then this awkward moment where the prodigal son goes, I'm sorry. Oh, forgive me. I've made such a mess of things. And, you know, I'm coming home. And all of a sudden, the father interrupts him as he's embracing him and loving him. Pays no mind to what he's saying because he's come home. In verse 19, in this particular chapter, remember the prodigal son had it all mapped out exactly what he was going to say. Remember? He said, I'm going to say, I'm sorry and forgive me. And I'm so sorry I've failed you and I've failed heaven. And remember, the plan was to tell the Father, I'm just going to be a servant. It's amazing how we will come to God with our own redemptive plan, but the redemptive plan of man does not compare to the redemptive plan that God has for you. And so right there, the words of grace interrupt this effort to just explain maybe what I'll do now that I come back home. And grace interrupts our efforts to justify ourselves, to prove ourselves. Grace just interrupts and says, I've got no plans for you to be a servant. I want you to be my son again. It just stops him from speaking. Oh, just be quiet. I love you so much. Servants, come on. Bring him a robe, because this whole thing or whatever he's wearing smells like a pig. And that's the power of Jesus Christ. The victory that was won for us on the cross. The stench of the pig was placed on Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. That odor, that smell, that foul smell, Jesus put it on himself. This is why he says, no, listen, no, say no more. And there becomes this amazing exchange, that piece of whatever he was wearing, he's removed, that it's removed from him, the servants remove him, and immediately right there he gets a robe. It's the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness, listen to me. It's a robe that you and I don't deserve. But it's the robe that we get because Jesus loves you. He said, kid, put the robe on him. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing that I've earned. Nothing that I deserve. But I'm clothed with the robe of righteousness by the mercy and grace of God. He said, put shoes on his feet. Put the shoes on his feet, because in that particular time, you know, servants didn't wear shoes. You only wore shoes if you were a son or a daughter. So put shoes on him, because I want to make it very clear that his return home is not to be a servant, not to be a slave, but to be my son, to be my daughter. You belong to me. Put the robe on him. Put the shoes on him. Put a ring on his finger. Oh, man, this precious ring that symbolizes the fact that you and I belong to royalty. We belong to God. We belong to the kingdom of God. He's home right now. All he has to do, wherever he goes across the land, he just shows that ring. And that ring represents who he is as the son of the Father. This ring represents the credit he doesn't deserve. It's really what it was, right? It represents a new credit score. I don't know if anybody's ever looked at their credit score lately. Maybe some of y'all don't want to look at your credit score. And oftentimes our credit score is low because of the debt that we owe. But the ring goes on because you get a new credit score because somebody stepped in and wiped out your sin debt. Whew. Bring him home. We're going to have dinner. We're going to cut the fat calf, the big one. The one that's just been sitting, just getting fed well. That one, yep. The one that's going to feed everybody in the city. That's the party I'm getting ready to throw, because we're getting ready to celebrate. And we're getting ready to celebrate right now because somebody's coming home tonight. Somebody's been sitting with the pigs too long. Somebody's been distant too long. And you get to come home. No wavering in far country. Come home. Come home. Come home. There's a party waiting for you. There's a celebration waiting for you. Not condemnation. You're going to experience the grace of Jesus Christ when we pray tonight. Come home. There's a robe of righteousness. There's a ring of righteousness. Come home. There's shoes for you. Come home. You're going to walk differently. You're going to live differently. You're going to be a new person. Come home. We're going to celebrate. Come home. Because a son that once was dead is now alive, now made a new person. Because the Father gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. P- piece of wood, two pieces of wood, nailed together. And Jesus was nailed on that cross so that you and I could come home, so that you and I could be reconciled to the Father, reconciled to the Heavenly Father who loves you. He said, my son was once lost, but now he's found. Because like I said earlier, the Father was looking and searching and waiting. And this is what you need to do tonight. Face the Father and come home. Would you stand up with me? I'm so glad that you're here tonight. I'm so glad that you're in church tonight. But listen to me. It's not enough to go to church, but still not be surrendered to Jesus Christ. You have to give your life to Jesus. Come home. I'm speaking to people here tonight that have distanced themselves. You found yourself set apart. You've been wayward. You've been doing what you think is best for you. But I want to invite you to come home, and I want to pray with you tonight. The prodigal son, I've always pictured him like this, head down, embarrassed, and ashamed. But I want to invite you tonight to raise your head up, come home, and experience the love of Jesus Christ. For all my believers in here, in Christ Jesus, if you came with someone that's just visiting and they have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I want you to walk them down here. But we're going to worship the Lord. And it's time to come home. It's time to stop running. Don't be ashamed. Come home. Come home. I want you to start coming right now. You make your way right out of your seat and you just come up here. And you just come home. From the balcony to the main floor, wherever you are, you don't have to be ashamed. Just make your way up here. You give your life to Jesus Christ. This is not religion. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you have found yourself very comfortable doing the religious thing. So you created this steady pattern of just coming to church and leaving, coming to church and leaving. But really, actually, you're distant. And you haven't surrendered your life to Christ Jesus completely. I know there's some more people in here. I want you to come up here right now. I want you to come up here right now, and I want you to experience rest in Christ Jesus. I want you to finally come to a place where you're finally at rest. And that's when you surrender your heart, your mind, your soul, everything to Christ Jesus. And if that's you, I want you to come right now. As we worship, you come up here. Praise God. You just made a very bold step to come forward. I know what it's like to be that distant drifter, that backslider, that one that goes astray, and it's hard to come up here, and I'm so glad that you've come up. I grew up a pastor's kid. I grew up a pastor's kid, and I heard it all, and I'd seen it all, and I even traveled with my dad when he'd go preach in different places, but by the time I turned 17, 18, I just started to experiment and try different things. I really got into the club scene and the party scene. I was just out there all over the place, but I remember coming into a service and just hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ afresh and anew. And one of the toughest things at that moment was to really die to myself, to finally be like, come to the end of myself and just say, I need to go forward and receive Jesus. Because for so long, you know, I was back and forth between, yep, experiencing God, but then suddenly just a religion again, and experiencing God and suddenly just adrift again. And then I had to finally come to this place where I was fully surrendered, fully committed. And it took a lot, because when I came to an altar, it, the place where I came to an altar, everybody knew me. So I was just constantly, you know, like, so you deal with just like your pride, what people are going to say, what people are going to think, because you've been going to this particular church maybe, but yet, oh my goodness, well, what do I look like going forward? Where, when, here's what you look like going forward to receive Jesus Christ. You look like someone who's fully surrendered and fully given to Jesus Christ. And finally, you've decided, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I'm going with Jesus Christ. So I'm with you tonight, and we're with you. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everyone here in the house of the Lord, you pray too with us. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, and I receive you as my God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for all of my sins. Change me. Make me a new person right now. I want the robe of righteousness. I want the new shoes. I want the ring. I once was lost, but right now I'm found. Keep me, Jesus. Live inside of me. I want your power. I want to know your love all the days of my life. I'm completely in. I'm fully surrendered. I belong to you now. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.